I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. Unfortunately, Kentucky ranks number one in cancer incidence and death in the nation. The University of Kentucky and others are doing all they can to improve those outcomes. An important aspect of that deals with early detection and treatment. With that thought in mind, there's a free head and neck cancer screening event coming up on April 11th at the Markey Cancer Center. It's the topic of this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Greg recently talked with Dr. Alexandra Keckner, an otolaryngologist at the University of Kentucky College of Medicine.
So in Kentucky, we are number one in cancer-related incidences and deaths, and we're number one for head and neck cancer. And so part of that is associated with certain risk factors, and there's still some thought that there may be, you know, environmental factors as well. One of the things that we see more than anything are smoking-related cancers, chewing tobacco, smoking tobacco. But over the last 20 or so years, we've seen this huge uptick in HPV-related cancers. And so HPV being the human papillomavirus. And it's one that, you know, previously was commonly associated with cervical cancer, and it's still sort of an not as well known about in the head and neck. You may be familiar with Michael Douglas. So he was one of the more famous ones who recently, you know, came out that he had a base of tongue tumor that was related to HPV. We're seeing these in people who are younger, healthier, and non-smokers. So you can see them in the smoking population as well, but it's sort of in the people that you wouldn't normally expect to have something like this pop up. And the other part of that is that a lot of times it gets missed initially. And really the survival curve, the sooner you find it, the more easily we can treat it and the better their survival. And so a lot of it is early detection. And really one of the things that we've been trying to do here at UK and in general with the Kentucky Cancer Alliance is to find things early so that we can nip them in the bud before they cause real problems. Because like I said, a lot of these people are younger, they're healthier, and some of them in the primes of their lives where they're working and being active and having families, and to have this happen in the middle of that. So we want to get people back working, back doing their thing, not having to worry with the big C hanging over their head. So, you know, it's sort of a two-pronged approach. One being early detection, and the other part, education. Because sometimes just getting people in the door so you can talk to them about what to even look for really makes a huge difference. Right now, with regards to prevention from an HPV standpoint, we do have a vaccine available up to age 45. And that is the human papillomavirus vaccine. And it guards against 9 different kinds of the virus, of which we know at least 7 of those do cause cancer. There are hundreds of other types that unfortunately we don't have vaccines for, but the ones that most commonly do cause the cancers are covered by that one.
So the family physician or the pediatrician could offer Gardasil and the vaccine itself, and that's one way of preventing these.
Exactly. And it's a 3 vaccine series, and even if you only got 2 and accidentally missed the 3rd one, there is a measure of protection with that. Unfortunately, with HPV, there really isn't any other way of preventing it, because you can't just look at someone and say, oh, that person has it or that person has it, because most of us have had it at some point. If you're an alive human being, not in a bubble, you have been in contact with HPV. And so we've seen on the cervical cancer side of things that we've had a huge drop in dysplastic lesions and other early forms of cancers. We probably won't see the same bump in head and neck because it's found later in life, usually in 50s.
And by dysplastic, you mean potentially precancerous lesions.
Precancerous lesions, exactly right. And the hard part with the head and neck is that we don't really see those precancerous lesions because everyone pretty much has tonsils. Everyone has lingual tonsils, the tonsils on the back of the tongue. And it's not something that we screen for. It's not something that you say, oh, that one looks a little bit funny, we'll do a scraping. And so really the only time we even are alerted to the fact that it might come up is a neck mass. And that's the most common presentation that we see, is that someone will be, you know, putting on their face cream in the morning or shaving, and then they say, oh, what's this weird little lump there? And it usually is not painful. It's usually pretty, you know, well circumscribed, meaning it feels like a little gumball. You can move it back and forth with your fingers. And even some you know, community doctors and family doctors still sometimes they'll see that and say, okay, well, I'm going to give you an antibiotic to see if it gets better.
They may think it's a lymph node or something like
exactly.
that that's just inflamed.
That's just inflamed or infected. And so the American Academy of Otolaryngology recently came out with a new set of guidelines. So for adults who have a lump in the neck with no other symptoms that would point to an infection, we skip that antibiotic step and go straight to send them off to see the ENT doctor. And I use 2 weeks kind of as a good rule of thumb. So really anything that's around for 2 weeks, there might be something that we need to check in on. So especially in folks who are smokers. So if someone has a voice that's hoarse for 2 weeks and it's not getting better, ear pain or throat pain, that's 2 weeks in existence and not getting better. Ill-fitting dentures, so if the denture's rubbing and there's a raw spot or a sore and it's not getting better in 2 weeks. So really, you know, if it's been there for 2 weeks and it's not getting better, it's not changing, or it's getting worse, those are reasons to come and see one of us or, you know, the family doctor as well to kind of get that ball rolling to get started. Because on average, there's a delay of about 6 months between the symptoms and finding out what it actually is. And so if we can break that and make it happen sooner, you know, we can get people back on the road again,
sure.
you know, doing what they need to do.
And you had mentioned, in addition to prevention, other measures. Is that what you just touched on, that once the person has had the vaccine or not had the vaccine, if they find something or if their family practitioner or dentist, for instance, because mm-hmm. as you were talking just now, I realized that my dentist, whom I see mm-hmm. every 6 months, always gives a feel of my neck and mm-hmm. and the side of my face, that sort of thing.
And that was a really great endeavor that was undertaken by the American Dental Association, was to educate not only the dentist but the hygienist as well. It's been fantastic because a lot of times they will find some of these things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the screening initiative, we want to say, okay, well, let's see if you guys have anything first. You know, if anyone who's worried about something, we can take a look. But also while they're there, okay, let's talk about things that you could look for, things that we need to be careful, activities or behaviors that we can address. There's a little bit of a myth out there that chewing tobacco doesn't cause oral cavity cancer. And I've got several guys who will line up and tell you that that's not true. I think one of the baseball commissioners even had to have a portion of his jaw removed because of chewing tobacco. And so
the myth that if you're not smoking the tobacco product, it won't cause harm.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, well, I'm not smoking it. It's still, you know, sitting there rubbing on the tissues of the mouth. So the other part too is that while we've got people there for the head and neck screening, we actually will be having other screenings as well. So we'll be looking at, you know, blood tests. So kind of standard blood tests that would look at, you know, lipids and cholesterol, look at blood counts and some electrolytes as well. And that way we can kind of cover that as well as occult stool tests. So we can check for colon cancer. Give people information about the upcoming mammogram screenings as well. So it kind of encase a whole more holistic approach. So we say, okay, you're here for the head and neck cancer, but stay for the rest, for the colon cancer screening, you know. So that way we can kind of get people in the door to know what's available here at UK.
And if folks want to get more information, is there a website or resource that they should contact?
Yes. So we do have the Kentucky Cancer Link is one area that has a lot of the information about screening events. And then with regards to even just getting, you know, in for screening, the telephone number, I do have that, 877-597-4655. In addition to that, with regards to online web links and information, the American Head and Neck Society also has some really good patient-directed information about, you know, what is head and neck cancer? What are some things that you look for? What are some of the treatment options available? So that way it's not a complete black box when you say, okay, well, I've got this thing that happened to me. Now what? Head and neck cancer isn't as common as, you know, breast and prostate and colon. And so, you know, a lot of times it's one of these sort of mysterious things that people don't know a whole lot about. And so that has a little more information about what to look for and what we would do at an appointment, for instance.
My thanks today to Dr. Alexandra Keckner, a faculty member at UK Healthcare in the Department of Otolaryngology, or ENT Surgery, for talking about prevention and treatment of head and neck cancers, as well as an upcoming screening on April 11th at the Markey Cancer Center from 5 to 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.